moving and non-moving. The God who comes is beyond power to your sense to see or know.
Although far, far away, He is also near at home. Before I begin, I would like to offer my respectful obeisances to His Grace Vishnu Chaitanya Prabhu and Ravindriya Mataji. They are my mentors, counselors, guides, my senior godmothers and god sisters. Whatever little bit I will be speaking, I'm sure all of you who have attended the seminar this morning must have seen that they are living these principles in their lives, and they are extremely fortunate to have an association with us today. So with their kind permission, I'd like to say a few words. And please correct me, Prabhuji, and Mataji, if I make any mistakes. So, we are discussing the 13th chapter, which is entitled Nature, Joy and Consciousness. And these particular verses, starting from verse 15 to 17, Krishna is describing about Paramatma. If you remember a few weeks ago, we discussed the nature of the living entity, the nature of this material world, and how Paramatma is all pervading, is existing within and without everything. He has unlimited potency. He has his hands and eyes which can see everything, which can acquire everything. He is wonderfully omnipotent. And continuing the same theme, in this particular verse also, it is explained. He exists within and without everything, moving and non-moving. And Srimad Bhagavatam, Queen Kunti, also prays Lord Krishna in a similar way. Namaste Purusham Svadhyam Alaksham Sarvabhutana Antar Bahirvastam. She is praying, I offer my respectful obeisances to you, O Lord Vasudev, who are unknowable by the ordinary soul. You are present within and without of everything. So, this is one aspect of the Supreme Lord which is beautifully described in these verses. And Srila Prabhupada in the purport has covered two very important points. And I was thinking that since we have already spoken, and you must have also heard last week on the subject matter of the super soul, Paramatma, I would like to focus more on the concluding lines of today's purport that Srila Prabhupada is describing here. Prabhupada is explaining that with our blunt material senses, it is impossible to know Krishna. The only way of understanding the Supreme Personality of Godhead as He is through bhakti. Bhaktya vananya shakya. So with your permission, I would like to focus more on this theme, on the power of bhakti. It's a beautiful theme, and of course, in the given amount of time, we can't really explain concept properly, but we'll try to go to some important points explained by our acharya. What is bhakti? This is a very common term, especially for those who have links with India and who have studied Vedic literature. Factually speaking, bhakti is the deepest and the most profound expression of the inner spirit of the soul. It is the expression of love, genuine love. So bhakti is nothing but true love of the soul for the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Before we go into more details, I would like to just narrate a small story which brings out this point very beautifully of how there is no other way to know God, and God Himself is proclaiming this in the Bhagavad Gita. But there was once a king, and just like many materialistic kings, he was very puffed up, very proud of his prowess. And oftentimes he would come out with challenges. And once he put forth the challenge in front of his minister, said, "You have to prove the existence of God by sunset tomorrow, otherwise I will destroy you." So the minister was wondering, now this king is a very cruel person. I'm sure if I don't satisfy him, he will definitely harm me. So he went home and he was going to the scriptures trying to find out how to explain to this foolish king how to prove him the existence of God, how to show him that God really exists. So as the night was passing by, he was not getting any sleep. And his little 5-year-old daughter was watching him. And finally she asked, what's the matter, father? Why are you so worried? So of course the king and the minister explained, "Don't worry, my child, go to sleep." The child kept insisting, "No, please tell me, what's the problem?" So the king, the minister told him, this is what the king has said, that by sunset tomorrow I have to prove him that God exists and to show him God. So the daughter, she said, "Don't worry, you send a message tomorrow that you are not feeling well, and I will go to the king and talk to him." The minister was surprised and said, "What do you mean?" But the daughter was insisting. So the minister said, "Okay, you go." So the next day, the little daughter comes into the courtroom and the king is saying, "Where is the minister?" She said, "I am his daughter and I am here to answer your question. So before I answer your question, I want you to bring me a pot of milk." So he said, "Okay, bring a pot of milk for me. And also bring me a churning rod." Start churning rod. And then, in front of the whole assembly, the daughter sat down and started churning the milk. And everyone was wondering, what is going on? Finally, the king, after a few minutes, said, "What are you doing?" She said, "I am churning milk so I can get some butter." So everyone started laughing. And the king started laughing too. And he said, "You stupid girl, don't you know how to make butter? This is not how you make butter. To make butter, you have to first boil the milk, then let the milk cool down. Then you put some culture egg into yogurt. And then you have to take all the cream off the yogurt and then try to churn that. And then finally you can get
Vajra.
This is not how you can get one Vajra. So then the daughter stood up and she said, so in order to get some butter, you have to do so much. You have to churn, you have to, you know, get the milk, make it with yogurt, and then churn the cream, then you get butter. How do you expect to see God just by expressing a desire? If you want to see God, if you really want to understand and know God, there is a process. You have to churn your heart. Unless you learn the process of churning your heart, there is no way of understanding God. So, of course, the king appreciated the answer. And he agreed that yes, this is how we can know God. So this is a very story explaining this point that if you want to know God, then the most important factor is unmotivated, unalloyed devotion. Savai kuntam parotam yato kripte adhokshate ahai suti apratipata yayatma sattasi. Then until we develop this unmotivated, unalloyed mood to serve God, it is impossible to know. But once you know Him, the power of this love is so magnanimous that you can even conquer God. This is the power of love. This is the power of bhakti. Before we go into more details of the power of bhakti, let us try to analyze what is love. In this world we see, on the grossest physical platform, there is so much of propaganda, so much of exchanges, so much of manifestation, so-called manifestation in this world. People trying to show their love on a physical platform for the opposite sex. According to the scripture, that is the most grossest form of love. But even that form of love is so powerful. People kill each other. People destroy their own lives, their own future, just for the sake of this flickering and conditional love. Still, that is a form of power. If you see a little deeper than that, on the level of the heart, we can see a mother's love for her child. What does the mother really get in return from the child? The child is simply, from an external point of view, you see a child is simply giving her sleepless nights, and she has to do everything. She has to be present, she has to be ready 24 hours a day whenever the child needs. But still, out of love, out of sheer love, the mother keeps doing everything for the sake of the child. Similarly, there are many people in this world who, out of love, want to serve their family members, want to serve the society. But we notice one thing, that despite this strong tendency of expressing love, very few people in this world are really satisfied and happy. We see this strong urge to find someone, to try to exchange your loving feelings with someone. It's never gone. And the scriptures clearly explain why it is there. Because the nature of the soul is to search for love, to seek love. Anandamayogyan, to seek pleasure. abide with the teachings of the Bhagavad Gita unless we strive to fulfill this feeling of love on the platform of the soul, we will always remain unsatisfied and unhappy. Talking about the power of love, you can see right here in the Bhagavad Gita, there was Arjuna and Duryodhana. They were both on the battlefield, they were both warriors, they both had their weapons, and they both had huge armies behind them. But what was the difference? Arjuna was motivated by truth, by a sense of responsibility towards the society, whereas Duryodhana was motivated by greed and ahankar. He wanted everything for himself. And when we are motivated by greed, then however much we will try and struggle and strive and struggle, we will never be satisfied. This is the nature of the greed. There was once a very wealthy man who was talking to another person, and he said that I have hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of acres of land in my name, and I promise you that if you start running from this point till sunset, whatever amount of land you have actually traversed, you run, I will donate them. I give you that land free of cost. And this person, when he heard this, he was really excited. Wow, that's such a fantastic offer. So he started running. And he started running and running and running and running and running. And he was seeing that, you know, in 1 hour I have conquered so much land, and there's still 7-8 hours to go for sunset. He kept running, he kept running, he kept running. And of course, the person who had promised me said that you have to go that much distance and come back to me, then I will give you that much. But the greed that he had to acquire more and more was so powerful in his heart that he was not satisfied with any amount of land. He just kept running and running and running and running. And then finally he thought, I have to get back, so I might as well go back now. So he started running back. But because he had ran so much, by the time he reached the owner, he just dropped dead. And then the amount of land that he was actually able to acquire was only that much, which was enough to bury him. This is the nature of greed. It is so unsatiating. It never really helps us to control our minds, to bring a full stop to our material desires. And that is why it is so important that we try to work upon these anarthas very carefully and sincerely within our hearts. Because for a person who is sincerely seeking God, who has embarked upon the journey of self-realization, unless he crosses over the hurdles of these anarthas within the heart, there is no way we can reach ultimate truth. So, it is not so difficult to prove the existence of God. God is there everywhere. He is present within every atom. Sometimes people, they want to see the miracles of God. But I read a beautiful statement that when you see some miracle every day and every moment, you develop a tendency to ignore them. That is human nature. that if you see a miracle every day, you will ignore it. But when a magician comes and shows you some illusory tricks, you become very enamored. Wow, this is wonderful. But if you look around, every blade of grass, every flower is a miracle of God. Every seed is a miracle of God. Can any of our scientists and technologists create a small seed? The sunshine, the air, all these wonderful gifts of nature, they are miracles. And if we understand, if we actually philosophically try to connect them with the Supreme, we can actually perceive the existence of God. So it is not very difficult to perceive the existence of God, provided we can understand the process. And Bhagavad Gita is teaching us that only through devotion, if you develop a devotional attitude towards me, towards Lord Krishna, we can know Him perfectly. Abhijanati Yavadyasya. That if you have devotion, you can know me in full. And a person who knows me can eventually enter the spiritual kingdom. So, the power of love, the power of bhakti, as we have discussed earlier, is so great that it can conquer even God. This is the nature of love. This is the nature of bhakti. A person who is genuinely a bhakti yogi doesn't want to become God. But it is God's wish that He allows the devotee to conquer Him. This is the greatness of bhakti. And there are so many examples we can quote from the scriptures. Let's see the example of Bhishma Dev. Bhishma Dev was a very great personality, one of the first Mahajans, and he was in a very strange predicament, put by Krishna to fight against Krishna. And we read in the Bhagavatam and in the Mahabharata how Krishna, in order to protect his devotee Arjuna, he wanted to show his love, he even broke his own promise. And also to show his love for Bhishma Dev, in the middle of the battle, Bhishma was killing the army of Arjuna and the Pandavas left and right, showering so many arrows. And Krishna, who had taken a vow that I'm not going to lift the weapon in this whole battle, he got so infuriated that he jumped off the chariot, picked up a wheel, a broken chariot, and charged towards Bhishma, broke his own promise to show his love. So in this beautiful pastime, we see that Bhishma actually conquered Krishna. He made him break his promise. Now when we talk about conquering the Lord in love, the closest example that we can give is sometimes you see a little boy, you know, he's playing with his father and he's fighting and he's trying to, you know, suppress him and say, "I want to fight with you. I want to wrestle with you." And he jumps onto the father's shoulders and his back and he's punching him left, right, and the father is saying, I'm being defeated, I'm completely defeated. So in this way, the father, in accepting defeat, is experiencing so much happiness. At the same time, the son, who is thinking that I'm defeating the father, is also enjoying it. I mean, if the father wants, he can just grab this child and just beat him up. But will the father really enjoy that, beating up his own son? He will not. He likes this exchange of love with his son. So in the same way, the Supreme Lord, although he appears to be conquered, that is his own wish. He will climb on the shoulders of the gopas. The gopas will wrestle with him and push him down and punch him. It's not that they have actually subdued the Supreme Lord, but out of love, in accepting this position, in the beautiful festival of Holi, the gopis, the acharyas explained that they are always victorious. Whenever the gopis, the gopas, Radha and Krishna, they are having this match, they have this tournament of who's going to subdue the other party, gopis are always victorious. Why? Because their expression of love is the greatest. So in this way, we can see that through love, even the Supreme Personality of Godhead can be conquered. But this conquest is not like the conquest of an egoistic person over another. This conquest is an expression of a very deep feeling, which is very fulfilling and nourishing for the soul. In the scriptures there are some very beautiful examples, and we will quote a few and then stop today's discussion. One story that comes to my mind is of one great acharya who was follower of Lord Chaitanya. As you all know, Lord Chaitanya came 500 years ago in Navadvip, in Bengal. And then from there he started preaching the message of God based on Srimad Bhagavatam all over India. In the later half of his manifested Leela in this world, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu spent most of his time in Jagannath Puri. And there, in Jagannath Puri, he used to visit various devotees, Haridas Thakur, Kanada Pandit, and spend hours and hours and hours discussing Krishna Katha. One such great personality was the associate of the Lord, very dear to the Lord, was Kanada Pandit. And Gadadhar Pandit was instructed by Lord Chaitanya to, for the rest of his life, remain in a place called Yameshwar Tota. He told him to live there. And there was a very beautiful deity of Gopinath, which was manifested in that area. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu used to spend hours and hours and hours listening to the Srimad Bhagavatam from the lips of the Radha Pandit. So it so happened that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu at one point decided to close his manifested Leela in this world, and he submerged himself in the body of this beautiful deity of Gopinath. And that's how Lord Chaitanya disappeared from material vision. Now, for the devotees, this was the greatest pain of their hearts, not to be able to see their most beloved Lord Gaurasundara. And all of them were just plunged in an ocean of separation. Especially those who were very close to Lord Chaitanya, like Gadadhar Pandit and Jagannatha Prabhu. So, Krishnadas Kavidas Goswami explains to Chaitanya Charitamrita that Gadadhar Pandit was suffering so much from inside that even his external body was deteriorating so fast. He was aging every day within a few months. If anyone saw Gadadhar Pandit, they would say that he is like another 10 years old now. So within a year of Lord Chaitanya passing away, he looked like a 90-year-old man. So old and frail. But because Lord Chaitanya had given him this instruction that he would be here, stay in Jagannath Puri, stay in this area called Yamesha Tota and serve Gopinath for the rest of your life, he didn't want to go anywhere. So he was serving this beautiful deity, and in his heart of hearts he had so much desire to serve him with great enthusiasm and great love. But because of his frail body, he was not really able to do so much now. So Gopinath, he's a beautiful full-size, like, you know, beautiful stone deity, life-size. He was standing and talking. Gadadhar Pandit, every day he would come in the morning, bathe the deities, perform the abhishek, and then dress them up, and then do all the aarties. Even in that condition, he would do everything. So one morning as he's trying to decorate Gopinath, he is not able to put the crown on Gopinath's lotus head. However hard he is trying, he is not able to reach Gopinath's head. And tears started rolling from his eyes. That, oh Lord, I'm such a sinful person that I'm not even able to finish my prescribed duty of worshipping you properly. What is the use of this fallen existence? And in this way, he was cursing himself. When Gopinath, the Supreme Lord, in a beautiful form, he heard his prayers from within. He performed one of the most beautiful prayers in the recent history of our Acharyas. This beautiful deity form of Lord Krishna sat down so that Gadadhar Pandit could finish his offering, he could decorate the Lord very beautifully. So the entire world, this is probably the only deity of Krishna which is sitting down with his hands like this. He was reporting form when he was standing. But now, by the power of love, by the power of bhakti of Sri Gadadhar Pandit, Gopinath is in a sitting form. So this is the power of love. In the same holy place of Jagannath Puri, when the Mughals had attacked India, they had attacked the Jagannath Puri temple also. And at that time, the cruel rulers of the Muslim Empire, they had given these orders that burn these deities of Jagannath. The Hindus are so fond of this Jagannath, we don't want to see him anymore. Burn him down. So they actually charged into the temple, and all the devotees were so scared that they were killing them left and right. Nobody was able to do anything. And they actually took the deities, the main deities in the temple, and they put them in chariots and they ran away. And they came on the outskirts of Jagannath Puri and they dug a big hole, a pit, and they threw the deities inside. And then they put a lot of hay and dry wood and they made a fire in there. So one humble devotee of Jagannath was seeing all this, and he could not bear to see see his Lord burning like this, so what he did was he jumped into that pit of fire. He said, what is the use of this existence if I cannot protect my Lord, if I cannot do anything? I might as well go on along with him. So he jumped into that pit. And the Mughal soldiers are thinking, here's another crazy man, better than him. Died. And then they all left. And to everyone's great amazement, next morning, this person who jumped into the fire pit, he walked outside completely unhurt. There was no trace of any bone mass on his body. He was completely unhurt. And everyone was shocked to see him. And when he came out, he was holding the Nabi Brahma, the Nabi Brahma of Lord Jagannath in his hands. Those of you who are new to the deity of Jagannath, every 12 years they do the Navakaleva of Jagannath, 12 years or 18 years. And at that time the Nabi Brahma is transferred from the old one to the new one. And they consider that is the soul of the Supreme Lord. So this devotee happened to grab the Nabi Brahma of Jagannath. And this way, of course, who can destroy the Lord? But the Lord showed him, and the Lord showed the whole world, that through the power of love, anything is possible. Even today it is possible. So this way there are many, many more stories describing, and we can describe so many beautiful stories, but unfortunately we don't have so much time. But the sum and substance of our discussion today is that this human form is the greatest benediction for the living entity. And the greatest tragedy is to waste this human life in material sense gratification, not utilize and self-realization. And in this particular age, by the causeless mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, He has made it so easy to awaken this love within our hearts. Simply, we develop the faith that by chanting the holy names of the Lord every day, with attention and without offenses, we can develop this love in our hearts, aligned with the Lord. So with this, we'll stop here. And do we have some time for Kirtan? We have some time for Kirtan? So we apologize, we don't have enough time to take question answers. If you have any question answers, you are welcome to speak to any one of us after the program. At this point, we would like to engage in chanting the holy names.